Good morning, Atlanta. And as usual, at noon on Tuesday, this is Everything Atlanta. My name is Danny Broadway, and I have a host with me today. A co-host with me today who missed last week, and we are so excited to have him back. Matthew, the Shaker Breaker Gardner.
That's right. Good morning and afternoon to everybody. Hope everybody had a good kickoff to the new year. We're still in January, so that means New Year's resolutions are still in effect. And Andy, what is your New Year's resolutions that you're putting into play here in 2012?
You know, I'm having to play with all new ones after doing my Ironman last year.
That's
Everybody's
right.
like expecting the bar to be higher. I'm trying to bring them back a little lower
this
year.
No, that's a high bar to for sure. Right. Congratulations on doing that.
I hadn't seen Andy in a while, and he showed up skinny today. What happened there,
buddy? He's getting ready to go fight.
Most people are trying to lose weight. I'm trying to figure out how to put some back now.
That's right. That's right. Well, Matt, I've got one word for you this week, and that's M-A-R-T, Mart. How
was
that?
That's right. Well, like most people know, we just got done with 6 full days down in America's Mart. It's where 35,000 people from around the world gather in downtown Atlanta to go look at the consumer products that are going to be hot and trendy this 2012. A lot of buyers were down there, obviously. A lot of people. We had a good success by implementing our social media cafe again. We were down in Building 2 on Floor 16, and we served a total of 650 people over those over those 6 days that we were down there.
And, took about, 200 pizzas, I think?
Yeah, it did. It was a lot of fun. We met some good people, picked up some really new and exciting clients that we're excited about getting them up and running here. And the gift industry is kind of a funny funny industry, if you will. They're kind of behind in technology, which, you know, I came from the construction industry, and I thought those guys were behind in technology. Some of these guys don't have fax machines, emails, or nothing. They just show up and go to work. It's like the good old days. So what was your takeaway, Danny, from the big 6 days down there?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's such a diverse group of people. It's so awesome. I've talked to Canadians, Australians, obviously a lot of West Coast, California representation. And then, you know, you have all the just, you know, the other 60% come from Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia, Florida to buy regionally. So if you've never been to America's Mart, it is a treat. And we were excited, you know, working with new Hallmarks and new, you know, other drugstores and all the way into some of these gardening concepts. And we picked up a lot of clients where we're doing build outs and management. So Yep Sir had a great show, and appreciate all the people who made that possible. And we'll be back in July.
Yeah, we'll be back down there and get some new and improved ideas, as we always do as we come off the end of a successful March show. So excited today because we have our first repeat guest here, Danny. I'm pleased to announce Councilman Doug Ireland. Councilman, welcome to the show again.
Nice to be back.
Good
How
stuff.
You guys doing?
We're great, Doug. Thanks for coming back on the show. And I joke around, but man, that is so awesome. I believe all three of the gentlemen who were on the show in November, December, before the races, got elected, and we know it was because of this show.
Yep,
so
thank you, Stone.
I'm certain that's the case.
We're excited to see Doug, now councilman, and he is going to do some awesome things over in Suwanee, Georgia. But he does have a business,
yep.
And we didn't talk at all about the guys' businesses that day because they were really into their campaigns. But Doug does a great job in keeping homes updated and ready to go, whether it's weather issues or just issues in beautifying the home. He has a Freeland Painting and Construction, and I want to let him kind of throw out some topics that we can talk about today and talk about home improvement.
All right, I guess
what's your favorite thing to do to improve a home?
Painting.
Great.
Painting. Actually, we tell customers this all the time. I think it's one of the simplest, easiest, and most inexpensive ways to completely dramatically change the way the home looks, inside or out. We talk to people who are buying, selling, and people who are just, you know, renovating their current residences. But especially when buying or selling, you want to definitely freshen the house up in this market and make it appealing to a wide audience.
Sure.
And that's the most effective way to do
it. So all the people with New Year's resolutions that included selling their home and getting a new one and that type of thing are a great opportunity today to call in and have a conversation with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we work with realtors, and we work with your interior designers to choose the right colors and the right palettes to make sure that it's fresh and it looks like something that other cool. people would want to buy.
So you've got the contacts, so they don't you manage it for them.
Oh, we do. We don't necessarily have. We've got plenty of contacts through our networking organizations, the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce, and what have you. But we'll work with your other professionals as well,
right?
Directly.
Fantastic. And so that you do exterior also, not just that's including interior and exterior help, because like inside, it's not as hard to pick a paint color for a kid's bedroom or, and I'm sure a professional
you'd be surprised.
Is it yeah, well no, I probably wouldn't. I've had those fights with my wife, but the exterior, that's a big decision. I feel like that's one of the biggest decisions on the home is what color am I going to paint it?
It is. It's daunting at times. People labor over it intently sometimes, and what we try to do is help them through that process, putting samples up. I've taken folks down to Sherwin-Williams before and laid samples across the table, and we'll go through them, spend an hour down there just trying to put things together and make sure that they're they're comfortable with it. But one of the most daunting things about it is to try and imagine when you take a 1-inch by 1-inch sample hanging on the wall at Sherwin-Williams, and then imagine what the whole entire house is going to look like. So
right.
that can be one of the toughest things.
Well, I've seen some software out there that allows you to take a picture of your home and then take it to one of these paint supply places, and they'll actually try to get the color on the home to give you an idea.
Yeah, you can go directly to SherwinWilliams.com and upload your pictures, front, side, and back of the house. And once you get all the parameters put in, you can start changing the colors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It's a really cool feature. Takes a little bit of time to get it all set up. But
so is that something you do for them, or is
that... We normally direct the customers to the website to do that for themselves, because it is a laborious process, right, to get that put in. Okay. But we will help them through the process.
So with all the talk about energy efficiency that's out there, siding, windows, and doors, and everything, when you sit down and talk to a potential customer or an existing customer, and they start to ask those questions about energy efficiency, what kind of products, what kind of work do you guide them towards in order to make their home more energy efficient?
Well, in terms of painting, there's really no technology that can make it energy efficient. The technologies in paint are going to be surrounding low VOC, which stands for volatile organic compounds, non-smelly paint. This is definitely a concern on the interior of homes where people have asthma, or there's young children or small pets. So you want to keep that caustic smell down. So we definitely direct people with those type of products. Energy efficiency is going to be your insulation guys and the window guys, and we do windows as well to help our customers out. In fact, I'll tell you, because the name of the company is Freeland Painting and Construction.
Right.
Construction is kind of a catch-all for a few other things that we do. Which
yeah, tell us what else you do.
Right. Roofing, siding, mm-hmm. gutters, windows.
So a lot of the construction part is external. You're not going to go in and redesign a bathroom.
And we don't. We have people that we would be happy to refer you to if you're renovating a bathroom or a kitchen or a basement, doing a full basement build-out, but we don't get into multi-trade renovations.
Gotcha. Awesome. So let me ask you on siding. I know that was something when I came to Atlanta years ago. In Tennessee, where I'm from, there just wasn't a lot of that. And if there was, it was vinyl. And here, and again, I'm going to butcher this, and then I'll let you clean it up. There, the wood, but it's not wood. It's like a Hardy or a Masonite.
So, no, not Masonite. Know. Masonite's the stuff that was popular. It was a Masonite type product. It was a paper product, actually, maybe 15, 20 years ago, that became popular when cedar became too expensive.
Okay.
The major players in that were all the Georgia Pacific, Louisiana Pacific, but I'm sure you've heard of all the class action lawsuits that went against LP.
Yeah.
LP,
yeah.
That's Louisiana Pacific.
Yeah.
Because it fell apart.
Okay.
And there was huge rot issues with that, because ultimately it's just paper.
Yeah, I mean, I have those spots popping up all the time.
Exactly.
I just had to redo, all the eaves a year or two ago, and it's starting to kind of warp, literally, like bend outward where I can put my finger behind it on the back of the house where there, you know, anywhere water can collect and doesn't immediately see sunlight.
Close to the chimney.
Yeah, just all those spots.
That's the worst
yeah.
spot. It's always the chimney.
Talk to us about that, how Absolutely. To avoid, how to protect. I'm sure paint can avoid some of that.
Painting and caulk, if it's caulked and painted regularly, you actually will have very small issues with that LP siding. You can protect it very well, in fact. If it's been neglected and mm-hmm. it starts to separate and come apart, it's time to think about replacing it. And you mentioned Hardy, which is actually a brand name, but...
Okay.
Somewhat like Kleenex, it's the name that people recognize yeah. in the market. What the true name of it is? It's a cementitious, which is a derivative of the word cement. I
know. Can you get me a tissue? Because I just think
no.
It's a cement. It's a fiber cement siding.
Right.
That. That has the same, actually has the same characteristics as brick in terms of fire retardation with your insurance company. You can actually get better rates with your insurance company by putting this on the house.
But it can't warp being a brick type product. It can't do all that unless
it's installed improperly. And it does expand and contract mildly.
Oh, it does.
With temperature changes, but not nearly the way paper would or that the paper products. It's good stuff.
Good.
It's absolutely awesome. And
what did you say? Is there but Hardy is
Hardy's
the most
a brand
popular
name.
Brand name it is. Of that product.
It is. They were the originators of it. Their patent has run out, so there's now some other players in the market. You may have heard of Nichiha.
I haven't.
They're the discounted product, so that's going to be the cheapest one you can get. But ironically enough, it's got the same warranty as the Hardy, and it's made out of cement. So I don't.
So you put it
issues.
On and then you paint it, though, right?
That's
it
absolutely
come
correct.
Pre-treated
it comes primed.
Primed. Okay. Gotcha.
So when you know a lot of your work is obviously the exterior painting of the home. Is that a seasonal job, or is that something that can happen in the middle of January? Well, I mean, when's the best time to paint?
There's no right time to paint. The parameters are definitely temperature. We can't paint below 40 degrees. We also can't paint above 105 degrees, I believe, as well. So,
so you wouldn't do well
in
Phoenix, right?
Yeah, that's tough. You know, we follow the sun around the house. In the wintertime, we want to be painting where the sun is shining on the house, and in the summertime, we want to be painting in the shade.
Okay.
Because there's issues with if it dries too fast, it can cause problems, which are mostly aesthetic. But yeah, we can paint right now.
So that's why you want to handle you want to hire a professional that's bonded, insured, going to be around, not a guy in the back of a pickup truck.
Absolutely, chucking a truck.
Yeah, dropping flyers off. Have you ever? What's the worst? And you don't have to answer if it hurts somebody's feelings. What's the worst you've had to go in and fix from a guy like that? That you know, one side of the house was green, the other was blue. Or I mean, have you ever seen anything just crazy that you had to fix like that?
Yeah, we've seen houses that are halfway done. Actually, we just looked at a deck last week, and we stained decks as well and fences. And this guy had done half the job, and the half that he did do was poorly done.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to change it up a little bit, change the color to a little darker color so we can overcome some of those mistakes.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably cost the guy even more to try to go with the cheaper guy that blew it, because then you've got to fix what he did wrong plus do the rest of it
right.
You
mean the customer?
Yeah.
Honestly, I would have charged this customer nearly the same if I would have been the first person hired as coming in behind this other guy, because we got to clean up his mistakes. It's not necessarily more. And in fact, it's a little less, but there's no cost savings to the customer.
Yeah, to hire the right guy the first time.
Yeah, which is why you should never pay someone for work that's not completed.
Right.
And that's my litmus test for any contractor, is if they're asking for money up front from you.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's in certain situations there is a right time to ask for a deposit
right.
when you're delivering a product like granite countertops. Those guys have to cut that and they have to protect themselves, so
right.
they do take deposits. But for our paint jobs, we don't accept any deposits and we don't ask for any money until the job's done, because we want our customers.
Really?
No, not a penny.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, we want our customers to know that no matter what problem occurs, if there's any problems, we're coming back to fix it before
great.
We ask for money.
That's
and so, you know, what kind of warranty comes with it? Is there a manufacturer's warranty that's somewhat typical? Or is there a workman laborship warranty that comes with your work?
Absolutely. I provide a 2-year warranty with material and labor. Sherwin-Williams provides different warranty levels based on the product you use. I use SuperPaint, and it comes with a 5-year manufacturer's warranty. In Georgia, though, the thing after 5 years, rotten wood and caulk failures and water, that's what's going to cause
right.
Problems.
It's the application, not the paint.
Well, that, and it's the extreme heat changes and the humidity.
Yeah. And so do you have to have some before they'll honor, you know, so the guy in the back of the truck, he uses let's say he goes and buys the super paint, whatever, I forgot the name of the product there, but he buys that super paint. Does he have to be qualified with Sherwin-Williams in any way for that warranty to actually carry over to the house?
I mean,
or do you have to, literally, as long as he can produce a receipt within 5 years, if it is the paint?
Yeah. I mean, the customer could go down and argue with Sherwin-Williams, but ultimately, you know, you would hope that the person putting the paint on would deliver that that guarantee, because I have a relationship with Sherwin-Williams. I'm the number one buyer of paint at the Suwanee, the Peachtree Industrial Store in Suwanee.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, those guys know me.
Right.
And they bend over backwards to help me. I'm their number one customer there. So
if something does go wrong, they're on it when it's your client.
Yeah, if I call and say, hey, I got a problem with a client, and we've got paint peeling off of a, you know, off of the side of a house, they want to know about it. And we'll get the reps involved.
That's fantastic. Good. Well, talk to me about, you said siding. You also mentioned windows. Do you do all types of windows or primarily one product line? I mean, what would they be looking for to call you on the window side?
If you need new windows, give me a call.
Wood, so you can do wood, vinyl?
Most of the windows we do are replacements because of rotten wood.
Yeah.
So it's not full house. It'll be one or two windows here and there.
Okay.
And so the issue there is you need to match the same style of sash that it has originally been put in the house 15, 20 years ago. So, we have a builder that builds the frames, puts the glass in the frames, and then comes out and install it.
Great.
So we take care of that, and then it's got to be primed and painted to match. We coordinate all that.
Perfect. And then you said staining decks. That's something all of us have to do every five? I mean, talk to me about how often should that be done? What different products are out there for that? I know
there's
a couple
of
years
different.
Ago I did that, and they had this stuff that would coat it like an inch thick and turn it into like concrete over your wood,
right,
all the way down to a $30 thing of a paint you slap on, but I bet you have to
Thompson's
do it once.
Water seal.
Yeah, you have to do it like once every 2 years. So talk to me about decks.
That's the point there. The clear stains, like Thompson's water seal, you have to reapply every 2 years. The darker stains, you can get up to 5 years out of them. And to be quite honest with you, it totally boils down to pigment. Mm-hmm. The darker the pigment, the more UV rays it's blocking, and that's the biggest killer. I mean, rain and water obviously is a big killer for the surface of decks, and if you notice where your major wear is on your deck, it's going to be on the walking surface and on the handrail, mm-hmm, where the water hits it.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, the sunlight is a big factor, so that UV protection is going to be something you want to consider. Newer decks, we'll put the thinner stuff on there because it looks beautiful. And until your deck gets some age on it, then you want to start covering some of the blemishes.
Right.
So we suggest darker stains that they're still stains. They end up looking like paint because they cover the wood grain, but they still have all the protection of a stain.
Okay. Yeah, I think we did green on a covered porch area because it was completely different than what it kind of led out to. It was an open porch, but it was more like painting. I felt like we were painting. It was an external stain or something, but it was green.
It was a solid color stain.
Yeah, to match the color of the room. And
yeah.
And so, I think that's what we went with years ago.
Now, you also mentioned that you do roofs, which, I mean, in this area of the world that we live in, there's a lot of hail opportunities that come rolling through town.
There were.
And, you know, we saw people and trucks from out of town, out of state. And do you work with insurance adjusters and the insurance companies? I mean, when it comes to a hail damage situation, what is your process?
We do work with them, in fact. The process... It kind of depends on the customer. If they've already made the claim, we come over and get involved with the adjuster and work with them to discover what damage is there and what we need to do about it. If a claim is paid out, we work directly on getting payment from the insurance company, which involves us, you know, sending the invoices at the proper time and having conversations with the adjusters to make sure that they've not missed anything. We had a situation recently with some skylights, and the adjuster had not included that. And we argued effectively that there was no way to get around these old skylights. They had to be removed and new ones put on in order to replace the roof. And we got that purchased.
Improved, included in the...
Yeah, which wasn't originally in it. I mean, it was a big dollar difference for the customer.
Yeah, I could imagine.
So instead of the customer coming out of pocket, we were able to get that paid.
And the insurance companies aren't going to do that unless they have a not authorized, but a professional that they trust that are fighting also for the side of the client.
To a point. I mean, well, we quote, and I'm doing air quotes now.
I mean, do you know the insurance guys? Do you guys all kind of, I mean, surely you've run into a lot of them.
Those guys are out of state as well.
Are they?
Yeah, they travel around. They're called disaster agents or disaster adjusters, and they'll get like a tri-state area, and they'll go where the damage is,
right?
And then they'll get it reassigned, and they'll be in Arkansas next week.
Yeah.
So
well, we had over at Rotary the other day, we had the head of the insurance, I don't know what he's called, governor of insurance for the state of Georgia, in to speak. And not only does he do life insurance and health insurance, and he literally has to know about, you know, insurance with State Farm for the home and for the automobile and with the home. You know, there's been a lot of fraudulent, with the insurance rates, there's a lot of fraudulent stuff going on. And he told us about a sting over in Lawrenceville that they put together where they took a home with a roof that was aged but definitely did not need to be changed by any professional's opinion. And they brought in these kind of fly-by-night roofers that had been popping in. And they had all kinds of crazy stuff. Like one of the guys got up on the roof, and while they weren't looking, took a hammer and put a hole through the roof. They had photographed and videoed the entire roof to prove it wasn't there before. They had some guys come, and these are, what is it, $35,000, I think, if you get caught. It's like this huge, it's a new law. It just came in place. He was telling us all about it about 6-8 months ago. And the sting went down in December. I didn't know if you'd heard about it.
I hadn't.
It was amazing that I think they had 20. And the good news was 16 were honest. Two said that 16 were honest and said, hey, you don't really need a new roof. So that was cool.
Right.
You know, there you got better odds. But if you catch one of the four bad ones, two of them said that you need a new roof, you've got hail damage. And again, this was a brand new roof, okay? So and then the other two literally caused damage so that if they did bring somebody behind them, you know, that there would be a reason there for them to be able to. So it was an amazing. I didn't know if you had seen that article.
We have. We've seen that. We've worked with customers that we worked with one customer who the previous roof guy had caused damage, and the State Farm claims guy had gotten involved with it, and they were reporting him. And I don't even know who that guy was. They never told me. But, there's been so many roofing companies that have gone out of business in the last 2 years. And one, due to the economy, and two, due to the fact that there's been no appreciable hail storms roll through Atlanta for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of micro sections of Atlanta where it's happened, and tornadoes. But, that's the audacity.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
from
amazing.
Some of those guys. It's just absolutely incredible, and you don't know what you're getting. And they'll have a Facebook page, they'll have a website, they'll look reputable,
and then come out. And again, what they find is it's the sales guys who are hurting a little bit now because of the slowdown. They're the ones who are doing it. It's not all the time that the company even knows completely as an owner. And again, they should be close enough to their business. I'm not excusing it, but even some of the these larger companies that are going to have 20 sales guys out there trying to blanket.
Yeah, they knock
stuff
on my door all the time. They'll say, we think you may have hail damage, and we want to get on your roof. I let them get on my roof.
Just don't let them take
knock
a
yourself
hammer
out.
Yeah, don't let them take a hammer with them.
I get a business card. If they do, they're going to be paying for it. I'm not too worried.
Right.
I mean, State Farm has not approved my roof. I've been working on them for a couple of years. And this brings me to another point, too, because some of these fly-by-night companies will tell you, they'll knock on your door on a Saturday afternoon, hey, we think you might have hail damage. And then they'll tell you, hey, we work directly with State Farm and Allstate, and we can get your roof bought.
Right.
Though that's not the case.
Yeah.
State Farm and Allstate, they both spend a lot of money training their adjusters on what actual roof damage looks like.
Right.
And if you don't have it, they won't pay for it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the relationship is with it. And I'm sure this is kind of similar in your industry, I believe, where people say we're Google supported, mm-hmm. Or we have a relationship with Google.
Right.
And how true is that?
That's because they've done a search that day.
And Google doesn't show preferential treatment to different marketing companies, I don't believe.
Not too much. They you might get a free T-shirt if you spend a certain amount of money.
That's
with
right.
Them, but,
that's right.
Beyond a couple of free T-shirts, no, we you
yeah,
don't
and
get
it's
kickbacks.
The same. It's
yeah.
the same. We can't affect what the State Farm agents or the Allstate agents do by buddying up to them. We can just be there and help represent the client and the customer and make sure that that they notice everything that we've seen when we got on the roof.
So if somebody looking to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do so? Website address, telephone numbers, why don't you go ahead and give those out for the listeners out there?
Website, www.freelandpainting.com. That's F-R-E-E-L-A-N-D painting.com. We've got a Facebook page at Facebook/RoofAtlanta. Mm-hmm. Twitter page at Twitter/PaintGwinnett, and we are home-based in Gwinnett. And then I'll tell you what, my cell phone is the best way to get a hold of me because I'm the guy that in charge, 770-265-0880. And we invite you to do some research about us on the web, too. We've got a lot of good reviews. We've got good relationships with a lot of clients. And in December, we won the Small Business of the Month with the Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
so congratulations, man. That's fantastic. That's great. And so why don't you go ahead and tell them, too, what you mentioned Gwinnett, but you don't just work in Gwinnett. So go ahead and expand on that.
Yeah, Gwinnett's our home base.
What's your radius? How far will you go? And if somebody's looking for somebody they can trust, and if you take off, do you just go down to the Suwannee City Council meeting and say hi, right?
and now, you know, I am not allowed to bid on any jobs with any city employee now.
Oh, great. You got to love eliminating half the workforce in Suwannee.
Yeah. So they call me now for recommendations, and I'm like, I don't know any other good painting companies.
Yeah, I don't know where to tell you to go. Yeah, but now, what is your radius so that
now,
the listeners
about our effective radius is about 20 miles. Outside of Suwannee, so we're looking, you know, Gainesville to Snellville down to Norcross and around to Alpharetta and Milton, kind of that circle. And we're not to say we haven't gone to Douglasville to do jobs. Right. We do, and
I mean,
we want
Roswell, Johns Creek, obviously.
That's obviously in there, and we want people to call us and give us first right of refusal because I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna refer you to someone that I know that's good. But if the job is you know, a large enough job, we will travel. Have truck, we'll travel.
Well, like I said, it's been 2 months. We'll shift gears for just a second here. It's been 2 months since you were elected, and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What's been done? What has Councilman Ireland been able to accomplish in his first 65 days here?
Well, I took office on January 1st, so 17 days.
Okay, 17 days.
You know, the celebration started back in November, but, you know, there's a little grace period before I actually
got
it.
So you're sworn in, and what are you working on?
We had our first council workshop last Thursday, and right now, there's a couple things Suwannee's working on right now. We just broke ground on a new police substation. Mm-hmm. Which will be located where the old BP station was, right on 85 in Lawrenceville, Suwannee, on the east side of the interstate. And it's going to be a great presence because what's the best way to say it? It's a little bit of a seedy area with some cheap hotels, some long-stay hotels there.
Yeah, it's just time to get it caught up.
We're aware that there's a certain amount of drug trafficking that occurs over there off the interstate that is due to, you know, outside influences. So it's a great place to put a police presence, but it's going to have an indoor firing range, which will be a training facility that we now can keep our men, all of our officers, in-house for that training as opposed to sending them elsewhere and paying other municipalities for that opportunity. And we can actually rent that out to municipalities that don't have that facility
that's
in the
great.
Area. So it's a really good that we just broke ground on that. We are about ready to improve the Peachtree Industrial Boulevard corridor in the three-mile section that it passes through Suwannee. With a very, very cool landscaping project. They're doing all native plants and grasses, native to Georgia, is. So it's going to, in some respects, look like weeds, because it'll be like the 3-foot high field grasses.
Right.
But the way that they're going to plant it, and they're going to have so many different flowering bushes that come out of it, mm-hmm. it will look deliberate. It'll look like it has a purpose. Yeah. And then as it comes up to intersections, then there'll be a, you know, a 60-foot section of mowed grass mm-hmm. With a transition into this nature area.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it is no other city around is doing it, number one. And number two, it's very healthy to the environment because you don't have to fertilize it constantly, weed eat it constantly, mow it constantly.
Because it's what would have been here before all the buildings went up.
Yes, only for the next 3 years, as it's growing and maturing, we're going to have to, you know, use some pesticides and herbicides on it in order to make sure that no outside forces come, no weeds come into it, because they are grasses.
Right.
But it's cool. It is super cool the way it's going to look. I can't wait. I think we're going to be breaking ground on that by March.
Is the commercial property in that corridor doing well, or will this maybe vibrantly kind of help that to begin to come back?
Well, PIB is the main thoroughfare through Suwannee.
Okay.
And I think what it's just going to do is kind of give us a sense of you know you're in Suwannee.
Gotcha.
You know you just hit the city line. We're also talking about changing all the signage in the entire city so that, you know, stop signs, yield signs, mm-hmm. all the traffic signs, so that you know that you're in Suwannee.
Oh, neat.
It's going to be just slightly different. Still approved by federal DOT regulations, but it'll be ours.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a couple of things. That's
good luck with DOT. That's 2 years before that one comes in.
Well,
but,
lucky for us, we get to make the big picture decisions. We have what's called a weak mayor system of government in Suwannee, and we pay salaried individuals that work for us, starting with the city manager and below, and all the department heads. To execute everything. So lucky for us, we have a full staff that does that checks the viability of projects and all the laws and the regulations that allow us to move forward with that stuff.
Well, good. That's great. So do you have one dream you want to bring down the road, though, or are you just, again, trying to get into it? Get your feet wet.
We are one day off from the I Have a Dream speech.
Okay.
Aren't we?
All right. Well, maybe next show.
We just missed that.
Maybe next show. We'll do that in July whenever we bring you back.
And I'm referring to MLK Day from yesterday. But yeah.
one day past.
One day.
Yeah.
No, I don't have any big dreams, to be quite honest. I feel like I've joined a really, really good team, and those of you that are out there in Suwannee, you know, there's been a lot of progress made in the last decade with some strong leaders, my predecessors, who have brought us to where we are at right now, and I'm just happy to be involved with it and to continue that vision forward.
Well, awesome. Well, good luck with Freeland Painting, and again, everybody out there, look him up online, check him out on Facebook, or just give him a call. He has done a lot of great work for people in this northern quadrant here, and will continue to do that on their homes and make sure he takes care of them. And now he's going to be taking care of their government, so that makes a lot of sense. So thanks for coming in. And
thank you.
And you know, I'm always wanting to take a couple minutes with our internet specialist Matthew Gardner that we're lucky to have on the show and have what we call our social media moment. Matt, do you have any tips of the trade for our audience this week?
You know, I'll share with you, with the audience, what you and I were sharing over the last 6 days of our life, and that is the ability. A lot of people don't know this. When they set up a Facebook fan page, what they'll naturally do is just maybe take a logo or a picture and simply upload that because Facebook asked them to, and then go from there. They don't pay attention to some of the optimization features that Facebook allows you to do if you know to do so. And I'm talking about things like properly optimizing the title of your page, making sure you go in where the info sections are, and properly categorizing the nature of your page to that's conducive to the business that you have. And I'm also talking about, and you and I looked at a lot of these, you and I looked at probably 300 or 400 different fan pages that over the past 3 or 6 days.
Yeah, fingers are tired for sure.
Yeah, the mouse clicker was definitely needing new batteries there. But you know, the biggest thing we saw was the lack of what we call a welcome page. These things are very, very simple for a company like ours to set up for you. We can go in there and create a customized welcome tab. that basically converts visitors to fans. And when you have fans, that is who you can market to next week, next month, next year, about the things that are going on with your business. So as you take a look at your Facebook fan page, if you don't have a welcome tab that invites people to join your page, or if you feel like that your page is miscategorized or just lacking in some of the design elements, give us a call, yepser.com, or at 770-655-8182. And we'd love to offer some show specials that we can extend this week to anybody out there listening. But again, it's just a really good way.
The show special is going outside of the mark.
That's right. That's right.
Don't I get 50% vote on that? Or
No.
I've been overturned by the councilman here.
That's right. So. Councilman gave me the thumbs up there.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well. But yeah, give us a call and let us help you make your fan page something you're proud of and that you want to get out there and promote for your business.
Fantastic, Matt. Thanks again. And don't forget, audience, that as usual, that and this show is brought to you by Yepser, yepser.com. That's YEPSER.com. For all your internet needs, as you're looking to do a website, social media, Google, whatever it might be, video for a viral release over YouTube, we'd love to be here and support you in that and make that a special place for you. So thanks again, too, to Andy for stepping in today.
Good job, Andy.
He's learning the ropes here with Stone and producing great shows for us. And any parting words, Matt, Andy?
No, I don't think so, Stone. We missed you the past couple of weeks. At least I have. Hadn't been able to see you, and happy New Year to you, and hope 2012. Anything new with downtown? Is everything rocking and rolling downtown?
Oh, we're in great shape. I think we've opened like a half a dozen new shows down
Good.
There. And one of the most provocative titles is Women on Top.
I saw that one come through. Our whole office
so
was laughing about that.
And we can find that where?
Yeah. www. All right. So, again, thanks for our visitors today and those of you who are listening. And catch us again next Tuesday. And remember, you don't know anything Atlanta until you've heard everything Atlanta every Tuesday at noon here on Business Radio X.